Today, on our series of messages on life in the Spirit, we're talking about preparing to receive the Holy Spirit. Preparing to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Vance has really advocated that we share testimonies. And so I'm going to talk about myself a lot right now. And Nima brought up about the calling. And part of what we want to accomplish today is the want it factor. Do you want the Holy Spirit? Do you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And all I can share is the experience in my life, and the Holy Spirit is really what enables us to accomplish the calling that God has given us. He does it. Whether you call it God's grace or the Holy Spirit is how the grace of God is operationalized in our life. It's how the grace of God flows in our life. God called me to be a teacher. And I remember my first year of teaching, at the end of my first year of teaching, I read a book called The Happiest People on Earth. And I really identified that because I felt like I was one of the happiest people on earth. When I'm walking around in classroom, teaching the kids, interacting with the kids, I really enjoy it. And that is the enablement of the Holy Spirit doing that in my life. When I became a principal, and it was a somewhat of a sudden thing that happened when I became a principal. Actually, I was at first an associate principal, but the principal was working half-time. He would come in the afternoon. So I became an associate principal. I remember when that happened that the school looked completely different. I had different eyes. Even the walls looked different. I remember the walls of the school looked different. The Holy Spirit gave me different eyes. The Holy Spirit gave me a different perspective. The Holy Spirit enabled me to be a principal. I remember when I became a pastor. I vividly remember that through the laying on of hands, and my dad took that oil and he poured it over my head so that I sensed that, as Psalm 133 says, the oil coming down. I vividly remember that God provided an enabling to be a pastor. And it has been all by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God enables us to accomplish the calling that God has given us. The Spirit inspires us. And it's the grace of God that is operationalized in our life. It's the flow of God's grace. And it's done by the Holy Spirit. And so a big part of what the Lord wants to do today is to motivate us to want it. To want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. To want the upon coming power of the Holy Spirit that enables us in every single area of our life. I'd like us to start out by turning to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 17. And here is a great description of life in the Holy Spirit. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Just yesterday I had a life-inspiring dream. I don't know if that means that I'm an old man. It says, your old man will dream dreams. But I had a life-inspiring dream. This coming fall, Living Grace Christian School is starting an athletics program. And in this dream, the Lord gave me a perspective as to what our athletics program is to be all about. And I got up. It was about 6:30 in the morning on a Saturday morning. And I didn't, you know, I've learned that when God starts speaking, you don't try to sleep through it. Alright, and I got out my prayer journal and I started writing. And I went downstairs and I started adding to my message. I took a break from my sleep. I did go back to sleep later on. But God gave me a life-inspiring dream. As far as what is the mission of the school's athletics program going to be about? What is the purpose of the school's athletic program going to be all about? And I wrote it down so that it will be there for years and decades into the future. And so the question that the Lord wants to impress upon you today is, do you want this kind of life? It's the wanted factor. I want to encourage you to want it. The pouring out of God's Spirit. Do you want your sons and daughters prophesying? Do you want your children prophesying? What does that mean? If my child prophesies, if Caleb stands up in the midst of the assembly and prophesies, what does that mean about what God is doing in his heart? If your child starts prophesying, what does that mean that God is doing in their hearts? It means that God's Spirit is moving in them. It means that God's Spirit is moving through them. It means that our children are getting on fire for Christ. Do you want yourself? Do you want to be used to build up the body through prophecy? That's a prophecy in the New Testament. That's the primary role of prophecy in the New Testament. It's not so much predictive anymore. Although prophecy can still be used predictively. We don't want to go outside of Scripture. We need to stay with Scripture. But in the New Testament church, we are the New Testament church. The main purpose of prophecy is to build up the body of Christ. To edify the body. Do you want to see wonders and signs from the Almighty Himself? Do you want to be those others-focused champions that we talk about so much that are used to bring people to Christ, that let people know that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved? It's the want it factor. Do you want to be on fire for the Lord? Do you want to live life in such a way that you can't wait to get to church? That when you've got to get inside those doors and you can't wait to come to church and to praise and worship the Lord. Because if you don't, you know you're going to miss out. That you love to praise and worship the Lord so much. We just sang a song. I think it was one of those songs that we're singing today to just, you know, bring out the patriotism of Memorial Day. And the phrase was, "Let mortal tongues awake. Let mortal tongues awake." Do you want to come to church so badly and that you don't want to ever miss a Sunday because you know that you're going to miss worshiping God with God's people? Amen. Do you love to praise and worship the Lord? Worshiping every chance you have. I know when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's the thing. My tongue was loosed. And yes, I speak in tongues. Yes, I prophesy. But the main thing that happened to me is that I love to worship God. Amen. And I don't have a beautiful voice. That's why I find great comfort in the Word of God, which says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Alright? It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." But I love to praise and worship the Lord. That's what I remember. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I had a job my senior year of high school. I went to a men's advance. And the men at a certain time came around me through the laying on of hands. The Bible teaches it's given through the laying on of hands and asking for. We're going to talk about that today. And men gathered around me and prayed, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I remembered after that just loving to praise and worship the Lord. Praising the Lord in the assembly. Praising the Lord myself. I could sing you a tune that I would praise, sing over and over and over again. I worked at an ice cream store. I wasn't good at scooping the ice cream. And so they had me washing the dishes. And so I'd be praising the Lord while I was washing the dishes, and I would get all wet. So it was embarrassing when I'd go bust tables because I was all wet. But I'd be praising the Lord. I remember that. My tongue was loose to praise the Lord. It means that we have a Mary perspective toward life as opposed to a Martha perspective toward life. It means that in our Christianity, we're not running all over the place doing all these things but we just want to sit at Jesus' feet and worship Him. And we don't want to miss out. We can't wait to be in the assembly to praise God and worship Him. That's revival. That's revival. And that's what the Lord wants to do in this church. He wants to revive us. Do you want to be inspired? It's the Spirit in you that inspires you. Life in the Spirit increases our love for Christ. It increases our being hot for Christ. Life in the Spirit means we want to worship Him with all of our life. Not just in the assembly, but with all of our life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's Christ's love. It's His grace. It's the flow of the Holy Spirit. It's the flow of Christ with all of His passion, with all of His love, with all of His compassion for others. It's living life with purpose and destiny. It's living Christ. It's Christ. It's Christ. It means Christ is flowing in and through us by the Holy Spirit. It means that everything that motivates Him motivates you. It means we're losing the love of this world and we're gaining more and more a love of Christ. In addition to the want it factor, there's the wait for it factor. The wait for it factor. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus said, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Waiting for the Holy Spirit. Praying for the Holy Spirit. Nima gave a little clause about walking in God's pace. God's pace. And the thing about being led by the Holy Spirit, and I've felt this sometimes, because sometimes I can have a tendency to be in a hurry. And even with good things, even with Christian things. But when you're living by the Spirit, you learn to walk in Christ's footsteps and at His pace. And for me, that often means I've got to slow down. Slow down. In God's pace. Living by the Spirit in God's pace. There's a couple of obstacles that we need to overcome as we are preparing our hearts to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One of those obstacles is pride. And so we need humility. Are we humble enough to receive something that we are not able to comprehend with our minds? You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have to accept it in faith, and we have to accept it by faith. Number one, we've got to believe in its existence. We got to have faith in its existence. That the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a true thing that the Lord wants to give us by His Holy Spirit. Number two, we need to believe that it's for me. We need to have faith that it's for me. And then number three, we have to have faith to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to talk about how that faith is assumed. But you need to believe that it exists for you. God gives grace to the humble. And God gives the Holy Spirit to the humble. Another obstacle is fear, or the mystery factor. It's mysterious. Some of you hear some of us singing in the Spirit regularly in the service. Often, there's a point in time during a service where the worship team allows for singing in the Spirit. There's tongues. There's a tongue that very seldom happens in our church where someone may speak up and just speak a tongue out almost as a prophetic word. If that occurs, we need to wait for the interpretation. It has happened in the history of our church. It very seldom happens. The Apostle Paul says that, you know, he speaks in many tongues, but he'd rather that he'd have the gift of prophecy. Because with prophecy, we have intelligible words, and it builds up the body. He talked about how tongues builds up the man's spirits and their inner man. So tongues is for the individual, but prophecy is more for the body. Don't get caught up in whether you're speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues. It builds up my spirit within me. But it's more important that I prophesy to build up the body. Amen. When you sing in the Spirit, you're singing a new song as unto the Lord. The Bible says, sing a new song unto Him. You're allowing your spirit to communicate with God. There's praying in the Spirit. Our minds come to an end of themselves. We can pray for a certain situation in our life. We can pray for others, and you pray, and you come to the end of your intelligible words. Well, there's a way that you can keep praying, and that's by praying in the Spirit. You can say, Lord, I just lift this matter up to You, and then continue to pray in the Spirit as unto the Lord. But don't get caught up as to whether you're speaking in tongues. But the Lord does want your tongue to be loosed. One way or another, the Lord wants your tongue to be loosed. We hear a lot of negativity about the tongue. In fact, James, you know, says that the tongue is the most evil member of the body. With it we praise God and we curse men. My brothers, this should not be. Shall fresh water and salt water come from the same source? Of course not. At the same time, there's a scripture that says, those who love the tongue will eat its fruit. That's the positive thing about the tongue. When we start using our tongue for good, it's a great thing. Those who love the tongue will eat its fruit. I want to encourage you to love your tongue. We were talking about this with the young people at Youth Discipleship Club recently. Love your tongue. Your tongue can be used for so much good. And so your tongue can be loosed in different ways. Yes, it can be loosed in speaking in tongues. As I said, for me, I remember my tongue was loosed to praise the Lord. Let your tongue be loosed to open up your mouth and praise the Lord. Your tongue can be loosed to prophesy and build up the body. Your tongue can be loosed for the gift of encouragement, to encourage others. Use your tongue. And so when the Holy Spirit comes upon our lives and we yield to the Holy Spirit, our tongue is being used more and more to bless others and not to hurt others. And so there's a mysterious factor. What is it? What is the power of the Holy Spirit? The power of the Holy Spirit is the grace to live the life of Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit is Christ's life, to live His life. It's the rivers of living water flowing out of you. It enables you to do, I won't say superhuman things, it enables you to do God-like things. It enables you to do Christ-like things. It enables you to forgive the unforgivable. It enables you to love the hateful. It enables you to bring words of healing. It's the empowerment to live victoriously each day as opposed to a sense of self-effort. It means that the grace of God is flowing in your life. It means that you're living life with ease. You understand how Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so you walk in the ease of Christ's burden. You walk in the lightness of His burden, as opposed to self-effort. It's the operation of God's grace in your life. It's the flow of grace. It's the flow of living waters. It's the flow of the Holy Spirit in you and through you to others. My senior year of high school, I went to a men's advance, and as I alluded to earlier, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. I asked for the Holy Spirit, and I received the Holy Spirit in faith. My tongue was loosed to praise Him. Do you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life that enables you to live Christ? Not enables you to live for Christ, but enables you to live Christ. The Apostle Paul knew the secrets. The Apostle Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ." There's a difference between living for Christ and living Christ. And the Holy Spirit enables you to live Christ, to live the actual life of Christ toward others with the passion of Christ. Do you want it? Do you desire the power of the Holy Spirit to live Christ? I encourage you to desire all that God desires for you. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11. Jesus said, "Ask, seek, and knock, and it will be given to you." Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.' Jesus said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And so, preparing our hearts to receive the Holy Spirit is allowing the Lord to clean up our life. We're allowing God by His grace to prepare our hearts. But it's very, very important that we not just have a sense of cleaning up our life. He talks later about cleaning up our house, a room that's cleaned up, and it's cleaned up of evil. If it's left empty, that evil will come back to it. But when we allow our life to be cleaned up by God, it's very important that we fill up, again, using our life, using the metaphor of a house, a home. It's very important that we fill up that home with something new. And of course, we want to fill it up with the Holy Spirit. We want to fill it up with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to just get a sense of our cleaning up our life and I'm clean now without putting something new in that home. Because otherwise, we're just going to keep fighting this battle against evil. And we won't have the enablement of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need. Look at verse 5. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. See, they had, back then they had one room houses, and they would all sleep together. And so, of course, anyone that has had little kids, I'm sure Shanita can identify with this. You don't want to make a big noise in the house, and then the kids wake up, and then everything's in an uproar, and so forth and so on. So that's what this was. They were all together in the bed, and if he gets up, all the kids are going to wake up, and so forth and so on. Verse 8, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Boldness. There's persistence in prayer. But the emphasis here is on boldness. I want you to think in terms of boldness. And to me, this speaks of God's grace. Because the giving of the Holy Spirit is not dependent upon you. The giving of the Holy Spirit is not dependent upon you working for it. The giving of the Holy Spirit is not dependent upon how much you pray for it. That would be self-effort. That would be works righteousness. What he's saying here is all you got to do is be bold enough to ask. Simply be bold enough to ask. How much more will our lovely Heavenly Father give to us? To ask God for good gifts. Be bold. Of course, the good gifts here is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Go ahead. Ask for it. Just ask for it. We sang the battle hymn of the Republic today. And there was a clause there that said, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Don't be afraid of it. Ask him. Receive it. Take a step of faith. We are going to provide this opportunity over the next few weeks. Ask him. Avail yourself of that opportunity. Ask him. Receive it. And then, yes, start opening up your mouth. Allow your tongue to be loosed. Don't put it on speaking in tongues. Just allow your tongue to be loosed and see what the Lord does. How much do you want the Holy Spirit? How much do you want the blessing of the Holy Spirit? In Genesis chapter 32, there's a story of Jacob wrestling with God. And Jacob wanted everything that God had to offer him. Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. There might be some wrestling involved, but don't confuse that with works. Don't confuse that with self-effort. There might be some conversations that you need to have with God. You might need to go on some walks with the Lord. You might say, Lord, what is it about this? Am I missing something? Do you want this for me? Have some conversations with God. How much do you want God's blessing? How much do you want the Holy Spirit? At the end of that passage, it says in Genesis 32:31, the sun rose above Jacob as he passed Peniel. The sun rose above Jacob as he passed Peniel. God wants the sun to rise upon your life. God wants to let your cause, your righteousness to shine like the ever-growing sun, as the Word says. He wants His favor to rest upon you, His grace to rest upon you, this newness of life. Prayer works. Praying according to God's will. God's will, God's desire is to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to Luke 11:10. Jesus said, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Ask and receive. It's interesting to me that Jesus, when he was talking about people coming to him and following him, he didn't use the word faith that much. It was leaders such as the Apostle Paul, Peter, that really broke it down in terms of how we become saved. Faith and repentance. Repentance and faith. We talked about that last week. Jesus here assumes faith. Jesus knows that every one of us has been given a measure of faith. Jesus assumes that we've all been given the gift of faith. Says he who asks receives. Maybe that's, you know, not a very important point to you, but it has been a very important point to me in my life. If you ask, you're going to receive. You have been given the faith to ask and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have what you need. Every one of you. All who ask, not just the persistent, not just the prayer warriors, not just the ones that can stay on their knees for an hour. Everyone who asks receives. It speaks to the grace of God. It's not dependent on your praying hard enough for it. Jesus didn't say, if you knock all day, the door will be open to you. He didn't say, if you ask 10,000 times, you'll receive it. In fact, he said earlier in another passage about the Lord's Prayer, I think it's in Matthew, he said, the Lord already knows what you need before you ask Him. Alright? Stop babbling like pagans with all your multitudinous words. He already knows what you need before you even ask Him. Ask and you will receive it. But He wants you to be bold enough to ask. Like a child. A child at the candy store. And I'm not trying to equate candy with the Holy Spirit. I don't want to lessen that. But when a child asks, a child is bold enough to ask a loving father for a good gift. He wants to bless us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ask. God will respond with the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Though you are evil. What he's saying there is that we're fallen. We are a sinful man. And as fathers, as mothers, as parents, even pagans love their own children. Even people that have nothing to do with God, they love their own children. And he's saying, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you this good gift of the Holy Spirit if you ask? He desires this good gift for you. God desires the gift of the Holy Spirit for you. Look at verse 13 again. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that we're to ask in faith, and it's through the laying on of hands. In Acts 8:14 through 17, let's turn to Acts 8:14. Acts 8:14, it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Here was a group of people that were water baptized. They had been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. They were following Jesus, but they hadn't heard yet about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so they wanted to follow God. They wanted everything that God had to give them. And so they did it right then. The apostles laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:6 says that Timothy is being encouraged by the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul says to him, "For this reason I remind you to fan and to flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Through the laying on of my hands." And that's what the Holy Spirit gives us. The Holy Spirit gives us power. The Holy Spirit gives us enablement. It's interesting, though, that the next thing, give you a spirit of power, of love. Because that power needs to be handled in love. Because sometimes, in my own experience, I've hurt people. And I've had to repent of that. The Holy Spirit can give you power, but you need to handle that power in love. God enables you. So He's given us a spirit of love, of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And that self-discipline helps us to maximize the love, the power of the Holy Spirit that He's given us. That self-discipline. That's what the Holy Spirit gives us. 1 Timothy 4:11. Again, the Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy. He says, "Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you." The Spirit is given through the laying on of hands. But I want you to see something. Look at verse 12 again. "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." You know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does in your life? It means that nothing is holding you back. Nothing is holding you back any longer. Are you too young? No. It's not holding you back. We have a ninth grader in school. We had family day this past Friday. His dad told me that he was going to be preaching at a youth meeting that night. Ninth grader. Preaching that evening. Youth is not holding you back. What's holding you back? Is it a lack of education? No. Peter. He didn't have a bachelor's degree. Alright? He had a degree in fishing. By experience. I'm sure he got service learning hours or some of these. What are these hours for experience? These credits you can get for experience. Nothing is holding you back. The Holy Spirit enables you to walk this way. The Holy Spirit enables you to be the example. The Holy Spirit enables you to accomplish the calling that God has given you. My encouragement to you today is take a bold step of faith. It's not up to you. It's God's grace. But simply be bold enough to ask. The Lord will respond. That enthusiasm that's in Theo, that's in Christ, in God. It's Christ in you. It's the Holy Spirit in you and upon you that is inspiring you. I'd like us all to stand and just want to encourage you today to prepare your heart to ask, to get beyond the mystery factor. To get beyond the fear factor, get beyond the pride factor, and be humble enough to simply boldly ask for this power that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. Father, I just lift up each one here to you today, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would encourage them to begin asking you for this gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray, Lord God, that they would, that during this season, that you would impress upon their hearts and minds, Lord God. That they wouldn't just let these series of messages just go by the wayside, but they would see that you want to do something new in their lives. That you want to bring this enabling, Lord God. Father, for those that have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, perhaps that's been lying dormant in our life, Lord God. Help us as the Apostle Paul said, to fan into flame. To fan it into flame. To fan it into flame so that it becomes more of a bonfire in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. So we walk in the enabling power that the Holy Spirit gives us, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we would be bold to ask. I pray, Lord God, that you would set us on fire. I pray that you would set this congregation on fire. That we would let nothing keep us away from you. Lord God, that we would look forward to coming together to praise you, Lord God. Lord God, that we would just be so full of wanting to praise you that our tongues would be loose, Lord God. I ask that you would set this congregation on fire. Lord God, I pray that that fire would spread, Lord God. Lord, I ask, Lord God, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit over us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.